This morning's reading is from Mark chapter 6. If you want to follow it in the Pew Bibles, it's on page 1009, and it'll be on the screens as well. So we start to read at verse 45, the section Jesus walks on the water. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountain to pray. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars, because the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass them by, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out, because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout the whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks so much, Stuart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a supernatural God who loves to draw near and to touch our hearts and our lives. Father, I pray that as we look at this passage today, that you would do amazing things in us and through us for your glory and honour. Amen. I've called this passage, Jesus passing by. I don't know what you're like. You know, when you look at the Bible, does it often lead you to questions? I don't mean question God, but questions as you go. Because as we go through this particular passage, I've got a lot of questions that I'm going to throw out as we go through this passage. But my focus, because I was drawn to it, was the bit where it says, Jesus was about to pass them by. And I guess what I want us to think about this morning is the nearness of the presence of Jesus and how we respond to the presence of Jesus. Question: has anyone seen Jesus? Fortunately or unfortunately, are we going to see him one day? Yes, face to face. We've not actually seen Jesus particularly, but we've all encountered in some way or another, we've encountered Jesus through the Holy Spirit. We must have done. That's what's drawn us here today. And we've been aware of the nearness, the presence of Jesus through his Holy Spirit. And that's what I want us to think about. When Jesus draws near, what is our response? Mary, we know from Luke 10, she sat at the feet of Jesus listening. And then in John, it's John 12, it says, she poured expensive perfume on his feet and wiped his feet with her hair. That was her response to the nearness, the presence of Jesus. She was extravagant. She wanted to stay at his feet. I wonder what our response is to the nearness, the presence of Jesus. Jesus here, he's fed 5,000 plus people. His disciples are with him, the multitudes are with him. And for some strange reason, Jesus sends the crowd away, and then he sends his disciples away. He sends his disciples away, and they're going to row across a lake, which is approximately 8 miles wide. And my first question is this. Jesus sends the disciples away. He's going to catch up with them. How's he going to do it? Sorry, do you ever think like that? Or is it, oh, it's just me, I can tell. Like some of you. And I'm thinking to myself when I'm reading the passage, has he got another boat? Has he got some more rowers, you know, lined up? How is he going to do it? But I'll come back to that in a minute. But he sends away the crowd. He dismisses the crowd. Why? So that he can be on his own. This is so important. He was on his own to pray. This is so important. Never mind the crowd, never mind the adulation of the crowd. In John 6, it's the same passage. It actually says this: Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew. You see, the people had got the wrong agenda. They wanted to make him king in a particular image. He wasn't going to be that kind of king, and he withdrew so that he could commune, another word for that, deepen his relationship with his Father. It is so important to spend time in prayer. The danger is, when you say it from the front, is because it happened to me. A number of years ago, I was at New Wine. I think it was New Wine. And someone said, one of the main speakers said that to improve their relationship with God, what they would do is get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and pray solidly for 2 hours. And he challenged us to do the same. So, of course, I thought, I'll try it. Monday morning, I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning. By 4:15, thank you, I'd fallen asleep. And then I felt so guilty and so bad because I couldn't stay 2 hours. But then I realized I'm different. I pray most of the day, to be honest. And me getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning isn't the best thing for 2 hours. You have to find your own rhythm and your own pattern in terms of taking yourself away to pray. One of the lovely things I find of having a dog, for example, is just that. Walking first thing in the morning and then in the afternoon. With the dog. And if you change the letters around, what do you get? God. I've just thought of that. But communing with God and a relationship with God. And he takes himself aside. And it's to hear the Father's voice once again. To encourage him, to bless him. So that maybe part of it is refining, so he doesn't get too big-headed. Because when you've got the adulation of the crowd, it's so easy to run off and do your own thing. But Jesus wants the right thing to do. And the passage says that he sees the disciples in the distance, and the wind and the waves are buffeting, and they're straining at their oars, and they're in the middle of the lake. And then, very matter-of-fact, Mark says, about the fourth watch of the night, we think about 4 o'clock in the morning, he went out to them walking. I love Mark. He went out to them walking on the lake. Who's seen somebody walk on water? No. Oh, come on. At least one of you must have done. Frozen water. Thank you. I've walked on frozen water. Lake Louise in Canada. I've walked. But this wasn't frozen, was it? And the thing is, it's not even a mill pond. It's going like this. It must have been. Because they were straining at the oars. They couldn't get anywhere. They'd been blown off course. They're in the middle of the lake. And Jesus just walks on the water. He's out for a 4 o'clock in the morning stroll. 4 miles. And it says he was going to pass them by. 8 miles he's going to stroll across the water as it's doing this. How bizarre. Why does Jesus walk on the water? I wonder whether it's something to do with the fact that Jesus overcomes the storm. In the storms of life, Jesus rises above it. In the midst of our life, Jesus actually overcomes the very thing that we fear the most, life's buffeting. Because the truth is, life buffets us. The truth is that there is storms of life. That's the life that we live. And if you think that becoming a Christian makes that any easier, or makes you immune, you'd be wrong. It does make it easier, and I've said this before, is that life is difficult with a faith. Without a faith, it must be impossible. With a faith, it's difficult enough. I've had one of those weeks, confession. You sometimes have those weeks, and it's to do with pastoral situations, because I've had a number of difficult things this week. And I was just chatting with one of our sons. He'd phoned, and he said, it's funny how your children notice, because I hadn't told him anything. He said, but Dad, there's something in the matter, because he recognised something in my voice. So I told him a few things. He said, how do you manage to cope? And I said, here's how I manage to cope. Pray. I pray my socks off. Secondly, don't say something stupid. You know, like it'll all be all right. And thirdly, recognize that God's presence is there, the presence of Jesus. The presence of Jesus is in the most difficult things that we encounter in our life. Isaiah 43 says this, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And Jesus comes to them in the midst of this storm and life. And Jesus comes to those disciples when they needed him most. And Jesus comes at the last possible minute, when they're right in the very middle of the lake, the furthest point they could be. He comes. He comes. When all their hope was gone, when they're at the end of themselves, they were worn out, tired, fed up, getting nowhere, Jesus comes. There's no obstacle or barrier that Jesus cannot overcome. So he walks on the water, he's going to pass by. I wonder what he'd have done if they didn't shout out and cry. Because obviously they didn't recognize Jesus. Why didn't they recognize Jesus? Thank you. I said, thank you. Let's go for the obvious. They didn't expect to see Jesus walking on the water. They thought it was a ghost. Well, it was the supernatural, but it wasn't a ghost. It was Jesus. And it says that these big, burly men, you know, because they were, they cried out. In the message, it says they shrieked. I was going to shriek this morning, but my voice isn't high enough. Well, I could get it there. But they shrieked and they cried out. They were terrified, it says. They were absolutely terrified. And then it says, immediately he spoke to them and said, take courage. It's me. Don't be afraid. You've got nothing to fear because I'm with you. Don't worry. Even though you're getting buffeted, even though you're getting nowhere, even though your hope has gone, don't worry, it's me. And I love the next bit. Because Jesus doesn't stand outside of the boat and speak to them and tell them everything's okay. He actually gets in the boat with them. He's here in the midst of it with us. He comes inside the boat. And as he comes inside the boat, the winds and the waves, they die down. I don't know if you've ever been in situations in life where you've been buffeted and you go round and round in circles and you get more and more anxious, more and more worried, more and more depressed. And then you do the very thing you should have done at the very start. Invite Jesus in. And then when you invite Jesus in, it's not that your circumstances change, it's just that you see things completely differently. And the obstacles and the problem isn't as big as you thought it was. Because Jesus is with us. Sorry, that's not to dismiss or diminish anything that anybody's going through. But the wind died down, and they were amazed. He climbed in, got in with them. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hard, and that means their hearts weren't penetrated enough. And then, of course, they get to the other side of the lake and there's a great crowd of people. They recognize who Jesus is and they run to Jesus. When Jesus passes by his Holy Spirit, when we're aware of his prompting and his guiding, what is our response to him? Is it to run in the opposite direction? Is it to keep him at arm's length because it's safer? Or is it to cry out and say, Jesus, I need you. I'm scared. I'm worried. I'm terrified. That's the honesty. You know, church life is really interesting. And we as Christians are really interesting. I'm not going to say this as criticism, I'm going to say this as truth. But often, because we're a family together, but when we're going through difficult times and life's really hard, what do? Pray, yeah, okay. I actually think I'm going to say something else because. Thanks, Iris. That's the answer I was looking for. Iris actually said, we hide away. And hide away. Don't come to church. Don't show our face. And try and pretend. And then what we do is, when life's sorted and everything's hunky-dory, we come back into church victorious. Oh, I'm all right now. Well, where have you been for the last 6 months? What do you mean you only come to the family and you only come to church when your life's sorted? Isn't that the time we need our family? Isn't it the time we need Jesus? When life is a mess. When I was at theological college, we used to have a small group. And, you know, we're all trainee vicars. But this particular week, my friend Phil, he just cried out in the middle of the prayer meeting. He said, me and God aren't speaking at the moment. Yeah, but you're training to be a vicar. What I'm trying to say with that illustration, isn't that honest? It broke the ice. It gave us permission to say how we really felt rather than stop pretending. Carry on pretending. And so often we pretend. Why? I'm quite a logical person, really. And I find it really bizarre because I used to do the same. It's that I used to hide and pretend and be somebody else. But then what I found was, it took me so much effort and energy to be somebody else, I was tired. And I'm trying to be someone else, and God is saying all the time, just be yourself. I've only created one Everton William MacLeod, who was born on the 16th of February 1957 in London. There's only one of me, just as well. It's a joke, it's all right. But you know what I mean? And Jesus comes to them when they're on their knees. He comes in the midst of their storms and he calms the storm and he gets on board and he says, it's okay, I'm here. Have courage, be strong, be courageous. This isn't in my notes and this has just come to me now, so who knows? It's that. I think as the family of God, God is encouraging us to be ourselves, not to be somebody else. I've already said there's only one of me, so don't try and be like me, because you can't do it. And I won't try and be like you, because I can't do it. And to have the courage and confidence to be ourselves, warts and all. And I mean warts and all. I was talking to someone before the service about Messy Church, because it's a name that the Church of England have coined for children's church. And I said, here was my answer. I think church should be messy, full stop. Don't let the children just be messy. I think we should be messy. What I mean is, it's warts and all, isn't it? That's mess. God loves mess, because he loves to clean it up. In our last church, quite often, we used to have two services similar to this one, but in the first one, like this one, quite often we'd send for an ambulance because people would be ill. Seriously, people would be ill during... That wasn't my sermon, but... Well, it might have been. But quite often we'd have to send for the ambulance. So I remember one particular day, a woman fainted, we sent for an ambulance, got her to hospital. I went to visit her, Jeanette and I went to visit her in the afternoon, and here's what she said to me. She said, I'm so sorry, Rector, that I fainted in the service. I'm so sorry that I was ill. And then she said, I can't come back to church. She actually told me that. I said, why can't you come back to church? Because I'm embarrassed. Because other people will think bad of me. You know what I said? I said, Winnie, if you'd had that do at home on your own, you'd have died. Praise God, you were with your family. It took her 3 months, but she came back. But can you hear what I'm saying? Can you hear what I'm saying? And Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, blows through this place to transform our hearts and lives, to make us in the image of Jesus, to still our troubled hearts, to bring peace, to bring hope, to bring light. Our response to Jesus passing by is to worship, warts and all. Amen. I guess I want to ask a question, and you don't have to answer this out loud. No, don't answer it out loud. But I wonder how many of us actually know who we are. It's a serious question. I don't mean what we do. I actually mean who we are. And for some of us, I'm going to encourage us to stop pretending to be somebody else, because we don't need to. Why? Because God actually loves us with a passion, as we are. And I think that some of us need to hear how loved and blessed we are by God. And he doesn't want us to be somebody else, because we don't need to be. We don't need to be. And I'm going to pray that some of us, we grow into the people that God has called us to be, destined to be, us to be, encouraged us to be. And that also some of us learn just to let the mask slip. I was going to say a bit, a lot. Just let it go. Just let it go. God's just reminded me, because in our bottom drawer, one of our bottom drawers at home that we're clearing out, we've got some masks that we bought from Venice. 3 masks. We've never used them. They're still in the bottom drawer. But God was just reminding me how easy it is to put them on. Church mask, home mask, shopping mask, going out for a meal mask. No, we're people of God, transformed into his likeness. People who get it right, people who get it wrong, people who God loves. And when Jesus passes by his Holy Spirit, you see, my Bible says where two or more are gathered, Jesus is here. So do you want to stand? Please. So Heavenly Father,